Brethren, the title of this message today is Preparing a People, Becoming a Godly Servant. Preparing a People, Becoming a Godly Servant. I have the privilege of working for a home health care company in Oklahoma City. The name of that company happens to be Providence Home Care. And it is a very pleasant place to work. To say it's a blessing is an understatement. The employees that are involved in the care of the indigent that we go into their homes, these people have an open, very revealing desire to benefit the lives of other human beings. The very gentleman that owns this company, he is most kind and he is incredibly considerate. And he's a pleasure to be around. A number of years ago, his mother was dying of cancer. And a home health care company had to come in under the guise of hospice and had to serve her until she died. And it impressed him so much that when he found out that Providence Healthcare Company was up for sale, he purchased it 5 years ago. And he is in the process of trying to make this company the best home health care company in Oklahoma City. Well, that is very tall order, and we are a work in progress. But this is the kind of company that I work for, and I count it a blessing every day. The foundational slogan of this company identifies itself with an acronym. It is the word SERVE. S-E-R-V-E. And he specifically makes a point to identify a unique identity to every word. That's what an acronym is. Every time we have a team meeting or a company meeting, he emphasizes and reminds us of why we are, where we are, who we represent, and what we are supposed to do out in the community. He has recently given 5 brand new cars to some of the employees, and they have Providence written all over them with the Providence telephone number on it. And I have learned to drive better. I can't hawk at everybody that I want to when they drive interestingly. So there is hope for me, brethren. You know, brethren, though he's not a member of God's true church, he does exemplify the principles of service. He understands it, and he's a very fine man to be around. As I mentioned earlier, I'm also a work in progress in learning how to serve. Brethren, the purpose of this message today is to present one of the foundational principles of God's directives to his chosen people, the elect, as we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if we are going to join Jesus Christ in the air, as is mentioned earlier this morning, which I gratefully thank the gentlemen in their messages this morning, if we're going to meet Christ, meet those that are raised from the dead, and we meet them in the air, we have to become a servant first. You cannot become a begotten child of God unless you are a servant. We of this meeting have been given the gift of God's knowledge of salvation. We are a rare group of people upon the face of this earth. That also has been alluded to today. That this incredible knowledge that we have, as well as the understanding that accompanies with that gift. We not only know it, we understand it. An incredible sequential plan of God, not just for us, but for all of humanity. As you know, this is the Feast of Trumpets. This is the first holy day of the fall season, the first feast. Praise God that we're here and that we know it. This is so exciting. It's amazing how fast time went from Pentecost to now. It's just incredible to me. Yay. It's a festival that identifies one of the most magnificent demonstrations of God's direct intervention in the life of humanity. As all of God's festivals and holy days, they are interventions of service. When you stop and look at every one of those holy days, they are interventions of service. This one is devoted to serving life. As you all well know, in Matthew 24, there's a unique statement by Christ that if he does not come, all life will be extinguished on this earth if he does not come. That is just incredible. That is just terrifying. It'll reveal to you just how far mankind will go. And in spite of himself, he doesn't realize that he will destroy all life if Christ and God the Father do not intervene when they should, as they desire. Holy canonized scripture reveals that upon the return of Christ, many children that have been called, chosen, faithful, who did not love their lives to the end all the way to death, they shall be raised from the graves and join our Lord and Savior when he comes to earth. In your notes, you should have Revelation 12, 11 through 14, 17, chapter 17 and verse 14 as well. Many who remain alive and have endured in the mercy of God by keeping his commandments and the testimony of Jesus Christ, they shall join these resurrected children of God, and we will be with Christ forever. How wonderful that is that we know this. I'd like you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. This beautiful letter to Timothy from Paul. Timothy was a young minister in the first century of God's church, New Covenant Church. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is a very, very encouraging scripture, because earlier this morning there was mentioned that a whole lot of people are going to be resurrected. And a number of people that are alive upon that resurrection are going to be changed. And only God knows how many that will be. So looking at 2 Timothy 2 in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. Brethren, it's the seal of God. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Praise God that he knows all who are his. It is one of our deepest desires. It's one of our deepest hopes that we are one of his. You know, my wife was a little upset at me. A good friend of mine was a little upset at me one time. And they said, you know, when Christ comes, I bet when I'm changed and I'm looking down at you, you're going to be going like this. I said, uh-uh. So anyway, I hope I am one of God's at that time. It's working hard, a work in progress, right? But it's just a wonderful thing. It's a reassuring scripture. It identifies the presence of God in the lives of those who are His and the supreme responsibility who claim the name of Christ to constantly be in a mind of repentance and in a work of repentance, a desire to repent, to change, to become like God, to think like Him, to reason like Him, to see like Him, to hear, to listen, to discern, to make decisions like God. Welcome to the life of a Christian, a true Christian. It's a life of loving service within the house of God first, and then extended to mankind as we have opportunity. To enter into the kingdom of God upon the return of Christ, we must be doing everything. Everything. Everything to change. Let's go to Matthew 20. Gospel of Matthew. This gospel was directed towards the Jewish peoples. It's one of the reasons why predominantly when you don't hear about the kingdom of God all that much in Matthew, you hear of the kingdom of heaven, because the Jews felt like it was blasphemy to openly mention the name of God. And so, Matthew 20, starting in verse 25, jumping into a thought here. And this was a situation where two of the brothers had gone to Christ and they wanted a special favors, to be in special favor with Christ. And so, let's just go to verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." To become a servant. Brethren, I mentioned earlier that the company that I work for has as its slogan, the acronym SERVE. That S stands for the word serve. This is the mind of God. Let's go to Philippians 2. I know you're familiar with this line of reasoning, but it's wonderful to be able to see these things written in the Word of God. This is the eternal Word of God. This is what we try to live by. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are commanded to captivate every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So in Philippians 2, starting in verse 1, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. It's not about me. It's about God and His magnificent plan that is through Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, and what we should be doing in life. Continuing on, or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Humility. Humility. Verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Brethren, on this day of the Feast of Trumpets, the true children of God are gathered to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in the depth of gratitude, we express praise to God and His beloved Son for their immense generosity. Brethren, we live because they do. We owe them everything. Thank God for the mind of Christ. It's given to us who have surrendered to both God the Father and surrendered to Jesus Christ. And they have fulfilled the righteous guidelines to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism of complete immersion and the laying on of hands from one of God's true ministry. And then we start running that race. Of course, when you stop and look at it, when God first calls us, we start moving in that race. And eventually we get to the point where we need to run. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 2. Once again, addressing this incredible mind that has been given to us. We're still in the first letter of the acronym SERVE, with the 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature and yet not in the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The world thinks we're foolish, brethren. Continuing in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brethren, we can't thank God enough for this incredible gift. The gift of the mind of God. We must never forget that. We must cherish it with all of our being. But it enables us, it partly enables us to think like a godly servant. Now the E, S-E, the E stands for everybody matters. Serve stands for serve. The E stands for everybody matters. I'd like you to go to Matthew 22. Because what's interesting about this, everybody matters, that is our daily test. Everybody matters. This is our daily test. Matthew 22, verse 35. Jumping into a middle of a confrontation that Christ was having with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then a lawyer jumps in at verse 35 of Matthew 22. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You take these two commandments and you couple them with another commandment that Christ gave in John 13. So we're going to head to John 13 right now. This is on the night of the Passover when Christ was having the Passover with the 12 disciples. John 13, starting in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Brethren, this new commandment did not do away with the first and great commandment and the second that was likened to it. When you think about it as a Christian, that commandment is put in the middle of those two. The first, our first great commandment, is to love God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ with all that we are. The second commandment, the new one, is that we are to love God's children as He loves God's children. Then the third, we love our fellow man as we love ourselves. Let's go to Galatians 6, please. Final chapter of Galatians. Paul was talking to this young church about the way of life. Because when you think about loving God with all of our hearts, and I'm supposed to love you as God loves you, and then I'm supposed to love peoples in the world as I love myself, that covers everybody. That covers all of humanity. That's why everybody matters. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are to do good to all. That is godly goodness, that He might be glorified. The third letter in serve is an R. That R stands for results. S-E-R. The R stands for results. I'd like you to go to Matthew 25. This very stunning and eye-opening chapter in the Bible that addresses some judgment from God and how He's going to be looking at things. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he came who had received the 1 talent, said, Lord, I knew you had to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's that which is yours. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received mine back with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And he cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be gnashing. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, we must never, never, never forget that the God whom we worship is a profit-oriented God. He is profit-oriented. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of His Son. You're very, very familiar with something that Jesus Christ told the disciples on the same night that He gave the new commandment. He also said something else to those disciples. Let's go back to John 15. This is very, very important for us to understand. John 15. Brethren, we've been given the knowledge of salvation. We must ask more and more and more for a deeper understanding of all of God's words, all of His truth. He tells us, He asks us to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Ask for more of my Spirit. I'll give it to you in abundance because I want you to understand. You can put this in your notes, but in John 17:3, it states, this is eternal life, to know you, Father, and to know the one whom you have sent. They want us to know them perfectly. Perfectly. Starting in verse 1 of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When we are baptized, brethren, properly, as God commands us in His Word, Christ lives within us. God the Father desires and dwells with us as well, to think like they think, and to bring forth, and to be able to reason the way they do. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Plain and clear that we must be profit-oriented. we must be doing everything in our power to bring forth as much fruit, but not only bring it forth, offer it abundantly to everybody that we encounter in our lives every day. Every day to glorify God. Brethren, the fourth letter in serve is V. That V stands for virtue. The word virtue simply means moral goodness. As we understand that the invitation to eternity begins with God the Father's direct intervention and direct personal calling, we also understand that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. God the Father and Jesus Christ work perfectly together, and they always have. Before God the Father was God the Father, before Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ, they were God and the Word. They have worked perfectly together for eternity. They've never been separated. They've never been distant from each other. We do not stop when we are first baptized. We must never succumb to the enticing idea that we see in modern Christianity. This thought of once saved, always saved, brethren, that is a satanic thought. You should never entertain it. Don't be satisfied where you're at in your conversion. I don't care if you've been in the church one day. I don't care if you've been in the church for 90 years. Don't be satisfied where you're at in your conversion, in your growth, in your desire to be like God and to bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit that glorifies our eternal Father. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to introduce to you, I know you already know this, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go ahead and go there. Here is the recipe for eternal life. Yes, there is. There is a recipe for eternal life. 2 Peter 1. Starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brethren, we are a very blessed people. We are the most blessed people on earth and in all time, as far as my opinion counts. We are very, very blessed. Continuing in verse 5, but also for this very reason, here's the recipe. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is, right there, your recipe for success. You couple that with the final few verses. I think about the last 10 verses of Romans 8, where Paul just simply says, we have no reason to fail. We have no reason to fail. If God is for us, who can be against us? We have no reason to fail. None. The last letter of serve is the E. S-E-R-V-E. E stands for excellence. This word describes that, identifies the person that excels in their efforts. Matthew 5. Sermon on the Mount, as this is well known. Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Work in progress. Work in progress. That perfection. You can put this in your notes, Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Have you ever looked at your life as pleasurable to God? It's okay to do so. He says so. You are a pleasure to God. He's given you the greatest gift. Make that plural. He's given you the greatest gifts that a human being can receive. We are a people most blessed. 1 John 3. Let's go to one of the letters of John. John's letters, in fact, pretty much all of John's writing was devoted to fighting Gnosticism, heresy, because as we understand it, he died of natural causes. He was not martyred. But he wrote letters and helped prepare people to go into the second century where so much heresy took ground in the age of man at that time, trying to destroy the work of God. But look at 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We are children of God. We are to be eventually begotten children of God into his family. That's why the Trinity doctrine is such a heresy. The Trinity doctrine states that it's a closed family, that God is three people, and that Jesus Christ is the only begotten child of God. The Trinity doctrine says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten child of God, Son of God. Scriptures disagree with that. There's going to be millions, if not billions, of eventual begotten children of God. God wants the greatest family that shall ever be, and he will have it. It's his devoted effort in his marvelous plan that we are living today. Brethren, it's quite remarkable that numerous times in Christ's ministry, how many times he took a moment in time to address something very, very important that we can never, never overlook. And it talks about the type of attitude we should have, the type of mind, the type of person we are to be. He reflected upon children. Let's go to Luke 18. After keeping that acronym of serve, we must come to realize that we are to serve with the humility of a child. Luke 18, starting in verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." It's another one of those necessities that we have to be working on to become like little children, to serve with the heart in the humility of a child. You know, brethren, in the three synoptic gospels, Jesus Christ addresses the attitude of a child in 9 different places. Numerous observations about children that assist us in recognizing the heart that God is pleased with. We first need to realize that when Christ said this, he was addressing little children that were from his culture and from the tribe of Judea. Those were the children that he took up. And I openly admit that that might be an assumption on my part. I think it's a safe one. But there were a lot of different people that lived in Jerusalem, a lot of different races, a lot of different people from the tribe of Levi and Benjamin. Apparently there are some Samaritans around. But it doesn't say that. It just says little children that he worked with. At that time, they didn't have the influence of a society that we have on our children today. The influence of the society that we have in our lives today, it's uncanny what our children deal with today. Our little children. I mean, as far back as my son is 25 years old, when he was in the third grade, North Dakota, supposed to be one of the most conservative states in the nation. My wife found out that they were going to start teaching that it's okay for men to dwell with men. And they were going to teach it in the schools. When she found out about it, she went right to the principal and said, "I don't think so." That was a long time ago, brethren. And what are they seeing today? Ephesians tells me that it's a shame to even think and speak about the things that we see in this society today. These little children did not have to deal with that. They didn't have to deal with that. They lived in a culture where their moms and their dads raised them in the Judean way of life. And they were respectful. They were gentle. They were kind. Being raised that way, taught that way. They didn't have the influence of a society that was warping their mind. They didn't. I mean, y'all already know this. You look at a cell phone, you look at a TV, you look at a computer. It's uncanny. We have to protect the minds of our children. We have to protect them. In 1 John 2, this is a memory scripture. I know you have this, but I'll go ahead and read it. 1 John 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world's passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Brethren, the childlike heart of humility that Christ emphasized does not have the world and its characteristics impressed on it. We must not let the world distract us or disorient us. We must be doing everything to protect that mind of Christ so that we have the godly discernment, the godly judgment, perception, and the vision that's necessary to serve so that we can enter into God's kingdom when He arrives. Because I know all of us want to hear those words, "Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into my kingdom, faithful servant." There's so much more that can be said about this in the scriptures. I know you know it. But brethren, we have been called to become servants during our sojourn here on this earth. That's what we have been called to become. To serve. Christ said that if we have a desire to be great, we must become a servant in humility and desire to benefit those that are going to be served by us. We are called to be part of a godly solution. We must divorce ourselves from being any part in an ungodly problem. May God bless you. May God bless you deeply, to be found as the pleasing servant that glorifies God when His Son returns in glory like, well, it'll be so wonderful to witness that. And that, what an understatement. But one final scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3. Just the final few verses of 1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 11. "Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Praise God that he will speed that day.